basketball bug. He John. Nirgunaha. Without material qualities. Api. Although. He. Certainly. Ajaha. Unborn. Avyaktaha. Unmanifest. Bhagavan. The Supreme Lord. Prakritihi. To material nature. Paraha. Transcendental. Swamaya. Of his own energy. Gunan. Material qualities. Avishya. Entering. Bhajya. Obligation. Badakatam. The condition of being obliged. Agataha. Accepts. So translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is always transcendental to material qualities. And therefore, he is called Nirguna, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above the material existence, through his spiritual potency, he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations, apparently like a conditioned soul. So purport by his divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. So-called attachment, detachment, and obligations pertain to the material nature, which is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whenever the Lord descends and acts in this material world, he does so in his spiritual position. Although his activities materially appear different, spiritually they are absolute and non-different. Thus, it is an imposition upon the Supreme Lord to say that he is envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 11, the Lord clearly says, Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanam ashritam. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. Krishna appears on this earth or within this universe without any change in his spiritual body or spiritual qualities. Indeed, he is never influenced by the material qualities. He is always free from such qualities, but he appears to act under material influence. This understanding is arupata, or an imposition. Therefore, Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam. Whatever he does, being always transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities, evam yo veti tatvataha. Only devotees can understand the truth of how he acts. The fact is that Krishna is never partial to anyone. He is always equal to everyone, but because of imperfect vision, influenced by material qualities, one imposes a material quality upon Krishna. And when one does so, he becomes a mudha, a fool. When one can properly understand the truth, one becomes devoted and nirguna, free from material qualities. Simply by understanding the activities of Krishna, one can become transcendental. And as soon as one is transcendental, he is fit to be transferred to the transcendental world. Chaktvadeham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjuna. One who understands the activities of the Lord in truth is transferred to the spiritual world after he gives up his material body. So nirguno pi yajo vyakto bhagavan prakute paraha sumaya gunam avishya bodhya vada katham kataha. So om gana timananda sha gananjana shilakaya chakshurun meditam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So of course this is one of the most important points in our Krishna conscious philosophy. The Lord's activities, form, name, and all those other things pertaining to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even Prashadam, is transcendental. So this is, it's actually a point of contention, not in so far as the Lord's body, but insofar as, let's say, a pure devotee's body. The question was raised last night. Someone asked the question, like, when a pure devotee comes down, does he take a material body? So this is a very interesting question, because we understand that pure devotee's body is what? Spiritual. However, we do see the pure devotee or pure devotees, Haribo. So the pure devotees are sometimes getting sick, right? And the pure devotees are sometimes getting injured. And all sorts of things happen, car accidents, like Prabhupada got a car accident, Prabhupada was apparently sick. So how do we justify that, this apparent contradiction between, you know, spiritual and what we perceive in this world? You know, doesn't this cause some some doubts in our minds? Well, let's distinguish between spiritual and physical. What does spiritual mean, anyway? Nobody has an idea. But anyway, spiritual means basically something that is either Krishna's transcendental body or something that is used or someone who is engaged in Krishna's service. And actually, a devotee sees all of Krishna's energies as ultimately spiritual. I mean, even if you engage your car in Krishna consciousness, like, where's Murphy? So, by racing or something, not. Actually, you could have the Hare Krishna movement sponsor your car in a race. Is that, like, they have all these, like, drag racing and everything like that. They have sponsors on the outside. So, even if you engage your car in Krishna consciousness, it becomes spiritualized. Prabhupada gives the example of a iron rod that is put into the fire. That iron rod becomes hotter, 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 and it acts as fire, although it's still iron. So, when we talk about the pure devotee having a spiritual body, it is not the same category as Krishna's spiritual body. But it is spiritual because it is fully used in Krishna's service, although it is still physical. You understand the difference? And something that is used for one's own sense of gratification is material. It's just mundane. Even there's the statement that when the deities are used for one's own sense gratification, just to collect money or something like that, Krishna leaves and is no longer there. So it's just mundane. I was with Srila Prabhupada one time, and Prabhupada was talking to some devotees, and the devotees were mentioning how they went to a particular temple, and they saw the deities, and they were mistreated in this temple. They weren't properly received. It was some temple, I don't know which temple it was. And Prabhupada, they said, you know, the deities were very beautiful. And Prabhupada said, there's no deity there. And the devotee said, but we saw the deity, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I said there's no deity. You know, oh my God, that's a heavy statement. And the devotees were just like, huh? What's happening? You know, did we see it or did we not see it? Or are we an illusion? Or we, you know, we haven't taken LSD in a long time, you know. So what is the problem? But Krishna left. Krishna left the deity form. You know, because either offenses or they didn't properly interact with Vaishnavas. Actually, it's said by Lord Kapiladeva that if one worships the deity but does not respect the Vaishnavas, then it's like offering oblations to ashes. In other words, it's useless. It's completely useless because Krishna is not there. So Krishna is not obliged to come down just because you put a form of his on the altar. He comes down because the pure devotee calls him, and also because people keep serving him. But if people don't serve him, he just goes away. Krishna can leave that form on the altar. So you see something that is spiritual. I mean, there's an example of something that is actually spiritual. The deity becomes matter. And then you have something that is matter, like your car, Maruti's car. But it has to be a fancy car, right? Not just one of those Marimobiles. But anyway, so a car that is used in Krishna's service becomes spiritualized. And you can actually experience that. Let's say if you're using a house or some building to preach Krishna consciousness, to hold programs, the atmosphere there becomes Vaikuntha. Like Prabhupada said, the Hare Krishna temples, they're Vaikuntha. And then as soon as the devotees move out, if it's a rented place, let's say, and some other people move in who are doing things that are not exactly Krishna conscious, then you can experience the difference in the atmosphere, isn't it? You know, I've seen that with a rented place. Sometimes we rent a preaching center, and then we move out of the, and then the atmosphere, you feel completely different in that place. So the atmosphere becomes spiritual. Of course, the famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita is Brahmar Pranam Brahmaharvir Brahmagno Brahmanahutam Brahmatena Gantavyam Brahmakarma Samadhinam. That if one makes a full contribution to Brahman by his activities, then the original translation I really liked in the Gita, then the person making the offering becomes spiritualized, the offering becomes spiritualized, the result of the offering becomes spiritualized. Like if you offer, you know, prasadam or ghee, the word in this particular verse is havir or ghee. So when you offer ghee in the fire, the ghee becomes spiritualized. In fact, even the smoke becomes spiritualized. You know, Prabhupada, I remember him conducting a fire sacrifice, and Prabhupada, devotees wanted to open up the windows. And Prabhupada said, this smoke is purifying. It takes a lot of faith to believe in that, you know, because the rest of us were coughing. And also, when Prabhupada would cook, I remember him using the chaunce, and he would put a lot of chili peppers in the chaunce. And he just, I don't know if you ever, you know what a real chaunce, none of you have seen a real chaunce. It's when you cook the chili peppers, a whole bunch of them in the little spoon of ghee. And they start smoking, and then you go, and it's so hot that the top of the pot actually hits the ceiling. And all the devotees, like, run out the door, you know, because they can't breathe. You ever seen that happen? No. And that's how Prabhupada cooked. So the Prabhupada said, that's purifying. Like I said, one has to have faith. I was thinking, I don't want to really get that purified. So in other words, it becomes spiritualized. Or like Lord Chaitanya said about Lord Jagannath's prasad, you know, he was eating, he said he could taste the Lord's saliva. And he said that this is ordinary foodstuffs, you know, just ordinary things you can buy in the market. And then now it attains like a spiritual taste. So going back to the point about the pure devotee's body, he's using it in Krishna's service. And actually become spiritual. And those devotees who are engaged in Krishna's service, maybe not, they're not pure devotees, can actually experience how their body actually feels different when you're engaged in Krishna's service. And then when you go to see a Bollywood movie, the body feels a little bit different. Right? Anyone's done that? No, I won't ask you. So, even the body feels different. It's like it becomes heavier, actually heavier on you, and just like more of a burden, and then dull. I mean, even you look different. You know, your eyes are like, you know, it's just like glazed. You know, glazed. It's like so. It's like the fog on the windshield when it's real cold, and you haven't put on the defroster. You see people's eyes like that. You say, "Huh, Hare Krishna." So. Anyway, so the act of spiritualization occurs even with Krishna's material energy. Prabhupada gives the example of an expert electrician who can take electricity, the same electricity, and I guess use an air conditioner, make it cool, or use a heater and make it hot. So it's the same energy. So it's all Krishna's energy, and Krishna can do anything he wants with his energy. So that answers the question about the pure devotee's body, right? That it's still physical. The physical energy, but it's spiritual because it's not covered by the three modes of material nature and it's completely engaged in Krishna's service. But the pure devotee, when he's in this world, doesn't manifest the same type of spiritual body that Krishna manifests when he comes down. It's important to understand the distinction. You know, there's a big distinction between it. Although it's spiritual and we worship the Vapula, the pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, but it's not that in the spiritual world, Srila Prabhupada will look like that. I mean, I hate to destroy your illusion about that thing. You know, the Prabhupada is not going to look like that in the spiritual world. What he looks like, that's none of your business. But until you go back there, then it's your business. But, you know, and what his rasa is with Krishna, that is none of your business either. Like Prabhupada said, when devotees asked, do you ever feel intense separation from your spiritual master? And Prabhupada said, that question you don't need to ask. In other words, it is none of your business. That's a polite way of saying it's none of your business. Bug off. Do you say that? You know, bug off? You ever use that expression? Leave me alone. So, yes, in the spiritual world, whatever Prabhupada's relationship is with Krishna, he has, and Nikunjayuno, Radhikele Shiddhai, Prabhupada is making arrangements for his followers to engage in the transcendental pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And so there's some transcendental form, or his Prabhupada's eternal spiritual body there. But Prabhupada's body when he was here is also a spiritual body. But it's a different category of spiritual bodies. Everyone understands that point? It's a very, very important point to understand. So let's talk about Krishna's spiritual body, which is, when he comes down here, he certainly doesn't even have a physical body. That's different. It's his same original Ajopi Sanavyatma, Bhutanami Shropi San, Prakatim Shwamadishtaya, Sambhavami, Advamaya. It's the same spiritual body he has in the spiritual world. And it's described that in that spiritual world, of course, we have the first verse of the Brahma Sangita, Ishwara Paramakrishna Sachananda Vigraha Nadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna's body is the cause of all causes. It's Sachananda Vigraha, you know, full of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. So then one may question, when Krishna is on this earth planet, I mean, for example, when Krishna was fighting in the battle of Kurukshetra, at least he wasn't fighting so much, but Grandfather Bhishma was firing arrows and Krishna was manifesting blood. So what's happening? Because Ashnavi Ram, Krishna doesn't have blood in his body. I hate to inform you. He has no veins. Ashnavi Ram means, like, that's where the word vein comes from. Viram, yeah, Ashnavi Ram. So Krishna has no veins and blood. Now, we definitely have veins and blood. You know, you can, as you get older, you see more of it, right? The veins come out. Yeah. You can actually see how old you are just by looking at your hand. Isn't it? Oh, my God. You know, and the skin gets a little looser, right? As you get older, doesn't it? Skin gets looser. Someone was telling me who works in the old people's home, she said that sometimes the skin even comes off when they give someone a massage, the skin comes off at the same time. So, it's pretty horrible, isn't it? But that's the future for us. If you want to know your future, like we were talking about last night, we gave the example last night that we were talking to some young people and said that one day you'll look like a prune. And they didn't know what a prune was. And I said, okay, all right, so you know what a plum is. Now you're a plum, and then you'll be a dried plum. Yeah, you're a prune. You know what a prune is. People take it for their digestion, yeah. So, Krishna, anyway, so Krishna's body is not that like that, yet he's manifesting blood. So what is that? What is that blood that was coming out? That actually, blood is like the yogamaya potency of the Lord. The Lord, he sometimes makes believe that he has a material body. And actually, Krishna, it says that Krishna experienced that the arrows coming from Grandfather Bhishma like a lover's bite, basically. You understand? It was a symptom of his loving exchange with Grandfather Bhishma. I mean, I wouldn't want to have a loving exchange like that with someone where they shoot arrows at you, but it was like chivalrous, one of the loving, you know, indirect rasas, it was a chivalrous rasa. So it was like this loving exchange with Grandfather Bhishma when Krishna was manifesting his blood, but he doesn't actually have blood. Or even when that story in the Mahabharata, when he threw the Sudarshan chakra at Shishupal, then he manifested some blood on his finger. And that was so that Draupadi could rip part of her sari off and wrap it around his finger so that later on he could supply more sari. Because you give a little sari to Krishna, you get unlimited sari. That's what we say. If you give a little money to Krishna, then you get unlimited in return. And that encourages people to give donations, right, in the temple. So Krishna sometimes manifests those things And it bewilders people, or even the Moshe Leela, which devotees don't like to talk about, how Krishna apparently was hit on the foot by this hunter giraffe, and then he just went back to God. But no, nobody gets dies because they're hit by an arrow on the foot, anyway. And then Krishna, like, ascended, and the, you know, the way the Balaram left this world was pretty unusual, too. He manifested Seshanag from his mouth. I mean, these are not ordinary pastime, ordinary activities of an ordinary person. But there's so many examples that illustrate the fact that Krishna has a transcendental body. I mean, if you think about all the examples there are, one example that comes to mind was when Krishna was in Vrindavan. Actually, was in Gokul, to be precise. Vrindavan is sometimes used as a generic term for the whole of Braj. And sometimes it indicates the village of Vrindavan. So Krishna appeared in Gokul. Where did Radharani appear? Does anyone know? Any ideas? Ravel. Not Barshana. People will tell you that she appeared in Barshana. But you can have an argument with the Barshana people about it. But she actually appeared in Ravel. So Krishna was in Gokul, and he actually was in this place called Brahmananda Ghat. Wasn't called that then, but later on they called it. And what happened is that Krishna started eating some dirt, and Balaram, someone ratted on someone else. You know, someone ratted means they tell on their friends, you know, they have a big mouth. So Balaram went to Mother Yashoda, naturally out of concern, because if you see your younger brother eating dirt, I mean, you're going to be very concerned. So he said, Mataji, Krishna has been eating dirt. And then Mother Yashoda went to Krishna and said, is this true? And Krishna said, Balaram's just always trying to get me in trouble. You know, he's always trying to get me in trouble. And she said, all right, we're going to find out if it's true. So she opened Krishna's mouth, and lo and behold, in Krishna's mouth were all the universes, and even herself, you know, and everything was in Krishna's mouth. So it was kind of bewildering to see yourself in someone's mouth with all the universes, with all the stars and everything like that. And so she basically fainted. And she started to think of Krishna in an unreverent way, but then Krishna covered her again with the Yogamaya potency, so she would only think of Krishna as her beloved son. So, I mean, how could someone manifest that unless they had a completely transcendental body? In other words, there was the same thing outside and the same thing inside. That's pretty transcendental. I mean, maybe the yogis could make some display in their mouths or something, right? Maybe you can see, I don't know what you can see in their mouths, except for a tongue. But, so-called yogis. But, so that's proof. What I'm doing is giving different proofs that Krishna's body, practical proofs. Of course, we have Shastric proofs, and that's the proof ultimately for those who have faith in Shastra. That's ultimately what we accept. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shastratam Divyam Adidevam Aham Vibhu. As Arjuna says to Krishna, you are the supreme abode, the supreme purifier, and all the great sages have declared as Hustvam Rishi Aksarve Devarshir Naradastirat. Narada Muni has declared this, Asita, Vyasa, Devala, all the declared. We accept that. But however, there's these external proofs that Krishna gives that he has a transcendental body. And there's actually many in Krishna. Of course, the lifting of Govardhan Hill. Right? I mean, who with a material body can lift Govardhan Hill? So many of these imitation gods, they can do a little mystic thing. Not even mystic, you know, they have hidden pockets in their coat or something. It's like there was one devotee who went to, I'm not going to say, he went to someone and, anyway, somewhere, who was known as God, who passed away, God passed away recently, but anyway, condolences. Anyway, do you want to say, yeah, he was Fiji's ambassador. Oh, no, India's ambassador to Fiji. Sorry, I got it wrong. So, anyways, so they went and they discovered he had so many coats with pockets in it, And right behind his house, there are a lot of little old ladies making packages of vibhuti. So there's many magicians. There was even a famous person in America. His name was Houdini. You ever heard of Houdini? They actually threw him in a box in the water. And he was chained up and everything like that. You heard about that? And he got out. But he didn't escape death. That's the problem. So getting back to the point of Krishna's pastimes. So Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and these bogus yogis, they can't even lift a car. He can say to whatever the yogi is, please lift my car. I need to replace the engine, so hold it up while I'm. Margie has a little jack there, engine jack. You don't need that if you've got it. Just lift the car up and just replace the engine. So they can't even do that. And what to speak? There's another interesting story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how Narada Muni, he went to Dwarka one time to see Krishna. And first he went to Rukmini's house, where Krishna was. And Krishna had 16,108 palaces. And try paying the mortgage on all those places. even devotees I know, they're thinking, well, I have to sell my house because the mortgage is too much, right? Isn't it? Imagine 16,000 or even three houses. And so 16,000, and then Narada Muni, he went first to Rukmini's palace, and he saw Krishna and Rukmini. And then he went to another palace, and in each and every palace, 16,108, Krishna was doing something different. It's not like a yogi or a television expansion. Like if you go into some store that sells television, you sell televisions in your store? And sometimes they display the image, and they're all the same image there. You got like hundreds of televisions, and big screen TVs, HD TVs, 3D TVs you sell there? Really? Is it nice? Nice. So, they have all these, but they're practically all this one or two channels. And it's just like, it's all the same thing. So yogis, they can expand themselves. Like the Chobari Muni, he expanded himself nine times. Because he had nine wives. And, that's it. But they were all doing the same thing at the same time. So Krishna was doing different things at different times, at different palaces. Sometimes he was playing with his sons, sometimes he was playing with his grandsons, sometimes he was, talking politics. That's God. So that's a transcendental body. I mean, who else can do such a thing? And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, he also exhibited things in his transcendental body that could not be done by an ordinary living entity in this world. I mean, his limbs, when Lord Chaitanya was, there was that time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped in the sea, and the devotees were looking for him, and finally Swarup Damodar Goswami and some of the other Vaishnavas, they encountered a fisherman, and the fisherman was just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and they said, why are you chanting Hare Krishna so much? And he said, when I was fishing, I encountered a dead body. And I pulled that dead body in, and a ghost got me. I'm ghostly haunted. and they said, well, we'd like to see that dead body, or whatever you consider, the ghost. And the fisherman said, no, you don't want to go near there. It's very dangerous. The fisherman was warning them. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, he said, I'm a famous exorcist. I can actually get rid of the ghost from you. So he said some mantras, and he slapped the fisherman. And then he said, now you're cured. The fisherman felt better. And then he finally told the fisherman, that was Lord Chaitanya you saw. And the fisherman said, no, I've seen Lord Chaitanya in the temple before. And this is a ghost. This is his elongated, like several cubits long. I mean, who could do that with their body? Of course, in the Western world, they have this person. What is it called? This superhero who spread who?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Elastic Man. You know more than I do. So, I have one disciple who always thinks he's a superhero. He wears these T-shirts and everything like that. And he gets Spider-Man phones, you know, and everything. He's really attached to that stuff. I got unusual disciples. So, really weird. But anyway, so, hope he's not watching. But, So Lord Chaitanya's limbs were expanded like that, like three or four times. And it was just like, huh? And the skin was just hanging. And that's not a material body that can do that, isn't it? And then as soon as they began to chant Hare Krishna, the limbs pulled back and he looked normal. And even, oh, here's another interesting story. Like you look at the Jagannath deities, you have a picture of the Jagannath deities here. I mean, you wonder why the Jagannath deities look like that. And normally people hear the story of the unfinished deities, right? Vishwakarma. But the actual reason, you know, the why, not the how, why Lord Jagannath looks like that, is that one time, Rohini was telling Krishna's wives about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And Subhadra was stationed at the door to try to prevent anyone from hearing. And she listened, you know, she was curious. She put her ear to the door and she heard about the pastimes. And she became ecstatic and her arms shrunk up in her body. And her eyes opened wide like that. And that's how she looked. And then Balaram walked by and the same thing happened to him. And Krishna walked by and he saw Balaram and Subhadra looking like that. And he says, what's happening? And he put his ear to the door and he heard the same thing, you know, feeling separation. So that's why Lord Jagannath, the reason he looks like that is he's Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra experiencing separation, intense Vipralamba Seva from the residents in Vrindavan, from Vrindavan. So Lord Jagannath is a Vipralamba Seva deity. In other words, a separation deity. And that's why he looks like that. But so that's another evidence that Krishna and his, of course, Subhadra and Balaram, they have transcendental bodies. I mean, I can give so many examples. I mean, like when Krishna expands himself as the Mahavishnu and the universes come out from him, and then finally in the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and then finally Shuradakshay Vishnu, he enters into every atom. I mean, he makes himself Anora, Mahiyam, Mahatam, Mahiyam. So he's bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest. That's a transcendental thing, isn't it? Krishna can... he's within every atom, and he can jog inside the atom if he wants. Take a bicycle ride inside the atom. You know, he makes himself smaller than the smallest, and he's also bigger than the biggest simultaneously, because all the universes come from him in the Mahavishnu. So you got the Mahavishnu contrasted with the Lord in the heart, the Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So isn't that transcendental or completely beyond anything we've ever experienced? However, the impersonalists, they always say that God has a material body. That Brahman, this is actually what the Mayavadis say. The question was raised yesterday about what is a Mayavadi. Mayavadis say that Brahman has taken a form of Maya. And therefore, because Brahman, you are Brahman, I'm Brahman, Hum Brahmasmi, we've all taken a form of Maya. You can worship any form. You can do anything. Yatumat tatupat. Some of them say that. Yatumat tatupat. Basically, I'm okay, you're okay. I was with Srila Prabhupada, and he made this statement. He said, they say, I'm okay, you're okay. We say, I'm okay, you're not okay. Or another thing they say, all paths lead to the same place, right? And it, you know, they misquote Krishna's verse in the fourth chapter of the Gita, where Krishna says that everyone follows my path in all respects, right? Mm-hmm. And they misquote that because, yes, everybody may be on the same path, but some people are heading in the wrong direction. Just like yesterday, we almost got on the road going in the wrong direction, isn't it? Yeah, but it wasn't marked. It just said, there was just like 2 hours and going two directions. I thought you could just take an optional, you know, either way gets you to the same place. But we took the left fork, and then we're going in the opposite direction from here. And so we had to go ride on grass, isn't it? Down a hill on grass. We needed a four-wheel drive vehicle last night to go in the right direction. Mm. Unfortunately for the Maya bodies, there's no U-turns allowed. You can't be criticizing Krishna, make a U-turn and go back to Godhead. You know, it's a one-way street. So, so the impersonalist Maya bodies, they decry Krishna's body. And, of course, because of that, they cannot achieve Krishna consciousness. Shradana purusha dharma shasha parantapa prapyamam nivartante mrityu samsaravartmani. They may go to the Brahman, but as Prabhupada says, as the Bhagavatam says, ruyikachena parampadam padat di yasmat angraha, they have to come down again. So there's no permanent liberation for them. Anyway, so we should be convinced by these different examples that Krishna's body is completely spiritual. And by worshipping and, let's say, appreciating Krishna's body, meditating on Krishna's body, you lose attraction to all the bodies in this world. It says if you would all desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love, then don't go to see Krishna's plane as food on the banks of Keshigat, right? So that's like a sarcastic statement. If you see Krishna, you'll lose a desire to enjoy this world. And that's the proof Krishna's, another proof Krishna's body is transcendental, that it takes away other desires. You know, if we look at someone else's body in this material world, it just increases our material desires. But Krishna's body, you know, Krishna's so attractive that everybody else looks like a frog in comparison. Because don't tell that to your wife. But, you know, you're looking at the deities. Of course, there's that one example. It's very interesting of Ramanujacharya's pastimes. He was with his disciples, and they were on the beach, and there was one person, his name was Dhanardas. He was entranced with his girlfriend because of his girlfriend's eyes. He just, like, was holding an umbrella over her head and fanning her like this. You know,
he was a wrestler.
And he goes, you know, she wife, Charana Padma. You can have the lotus feet of my wife in the only way by which I can be happy. So anyway, so what happened is that the devotees, they started to make fun of him, and Ramanujacharya said, don't make fun of him. I want to talk to this guy. And he said, come here. And he said to the guy, why are you doing this? He said, because of her eyes. Her eyes are so beautiful. And Ramanujacharya said that if I could show you someone with nicer eyes, then would you worship them? And he said, yeah, sure. Because this man was thinking that, maybe there's a girl with nicer eyes. But Ramanujacharya had a trick. That night he brought him to see Virata Dharaja, the deity. And, or actually Ranganath, he brought him to see Ranganath. Not this Ranganath, but another Ranganath, the deity Ranganath. So, and he looked at Ranganath's eyes, and then what happened? He started crying, and he became a devotee, and he got married to his girlfriend. So it had a happy ending. It's not that he took sannyas or anything. And it's even described in Tirupati. One of the reasons that they keep the eyes of Balaji covered is because he has such attractive eyes that people wouldn't want to leave him. And they have to keep people funneling through all day long. Another reason that they cover his eyes is because they don't want him to see all the rascals that come to see him and ask for money. It's two reasons. But in any case, the Lord's body is transcendental. We see the deities in the temple. And it just attracts one. It's very attractive, and you lose your tendency to be attracted to things in this world. You know, you don't want computers anymore, right? Or fast cars anymore. What do you think? Okay. So any questions or comments about any of these points? About the Lord's transcendental? Because this is one of the essential, important points in our philosophy. I mean, I can't think of anything more essential or important than the fact that the Lord's body is transcendental, Krishna's pastimes, janma, karma, Krishna's appearance, janma, karma, activities are transcendental. I can't think of anything more important for us. And we also have a spiritual body just like that in the spiritual world, where we don't get old and all those other nice things. But right now, most of us have not realized it. And when you realize it, you can actually, that's called Jivan Mukta, even in this life, you can actually experience your spiritual body even in this life. And that begins to happen at the second stage of sadhana bhakti called Raghunuga bhakti. Begins to happen at that stage, not fully realized. First stage is Vaidhi, where you're just doing rules and regulations, but after a while, you begin to have some inclination or understanding of what your form is in the spiritual world. And then the spiritual master, Vance Vaishnav, can actually tell you how to perform that manasa seva, that internal service. And then gradually you begin to perceive your spiritual body. But this is a very advanced stage. Very advanced. We don't want to jump up and just like get this Siddhadeya initiation. And many devotees have left the movement because they wanted to jump too quickly. And they go to Radha Kund and some Babaji says, you know, I think you're a gopi, Dwarka. And your name is Dwarkini. And your service is massaging the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So, you know, it's nice. So then he's thinking, that's a relief. Now I don't have to do any of that heavy sadhana anymore, you know, follow the guru's instructions anymore. I don't have to go on Sankirtan anymore. Don't have to take care of my wife anymore. Oh, what a relief. And then, so, it's, you know, it's sort of like an enticement. But in most cases, it's completely mundane. Because it's, you know, the person's not ready for it. To understand. So when we're ready, then Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master and Krishna will arrange for us to understand. Prabhupada said, work now and samadhi later. In other words, we actually preach Krishna consciousness. Preaching is in the mood of the gopis. So what could be higher? Lord Chaitanya was preaching. And then this automatically will realize it will develop our internal life. And then you'll work under some resident of Vrindavan. That resident of Vrindavan will be your immediate boss. Someone will say, who's your boss? Well, Lalita Devi. But you won't tell them that. You'll just say, my wife. But internally you'll be thinking, it's Lalita or Subal or Nanda Maharaj, isn't it? So you work under following the footsteps and assisting that particular resident, eternal resident of Vrindavan. So, any questions or comments? Yeah.
The main reasons why Krishna left in that way was because Krishna provides for either devotee, Maya, anyone. He looks everyone on an equal level.
Yeah.
So he left a body so that those who want to be in illusion
can be in illusion, yeah. Yeah, Krishna gives facility. Mata smritim yadam apovanam cha. He gives intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Like, how would we forget Krishna? Prabhupada said the amazing thing is we're forgetting Krishna, or we're not seeing Krishna. And that's due to Krishna's mercy, or maya. Maya means mercy. So without that facility to forget Krishna, there's no independence. So, just like the scientists, they come up with so many theories. The most recent theory, and I mentioned this the other day, is called the string theory. You've heard about that? I mentioned it. You know, and string theory means that ultimately there's no particles, everything is just vibrating strings in different dimensions of energy. Has anyone studied this stuff? No. Your lives are useless. Isn't it? You should spend your time, go back to uni, and take physics up, like me, you know. Or go on the internet. Anyway, waste your human form of life. So Krishna's given them the intelligence, the faulty intelligence, because they want to forget Krishna. So Krishna is playing this game with them. It's called pin the tail on the donkey. You ever play it? Mm-hmm. When you were young? You're blindfolded? And then, so Krishna's, we're the donkey, and Krishna's pinning the tail on us. Krishna. Prabhupada said, if you want to cheat Krishna, Krishna will cheat you. Yatamam prabhajante. So as you approach Krishna, Krishna will make you an ass, as foolish as an ass. And you'll come up with all these different philosophies or theories and things like that that are just like useless.
Everything depends on our desire. We have to be very careful what we desire.
Yeah.
Krishna will fulfill whatever we want.
That's right. If we desire to forget Krishna, we will forget Krishna. If we desire to remember Krishna, Krishna will give us full facility for that. There's full facility for everything. There's no lack. All right, any other questions? Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Krishna's voice, Krishna, but then you say Sachit Anand.
Sachinananda.
How does that have? How the three qualities that Sachit Anand?
Sat means eternity, yeah. Chit means knowledge, and Ananda means bliss. So what's the question?
So
exactly what a Sachit Ananda body is, you know. You know, how to explain?
Sachit is a very general term.
Yeah, how do we explain that to you or to me or to anyone in this world what it means to have a Sachidananda body? I mean, that's really, it takes, you have to be on the spiritual platform to understand that, isn't it? So your body is made of Sachidananda. Our body is made of three things too, tri dhaduke, bio, mucus, and air. No, that's the opposite of Sachidananda. That's an Ayurvedic thing, you know, biomimicry. Tree datus. You know, what a Sachidananda body does, looks like, feels like. You'll have to go there and experience it. But it can do things that violate the laws of material nature. If you had a Sachidananda body right here, which you don't, you could violate the laws of material nature. Because the laws of material nature are made by Krishna. So Krishna usually doesn't violate, but he can and he does sometimes violate. I mean, 16,108 Krishnas or dancing with the gopis. You know, so many. Of course, there's 108 principal gopis, but there are many more gopis than that. There's the Munichara gopis and the gopis who were, and the sages who were in Dandakaranya forest who wanted to marry Lord Ram. And there were thousands of those. And so they met with Krishna. And so Krishna was able to fulfill, and each and every gopi thought Krishna was just by my side. Right? I mean, that's pretty amazing. So, Sachidananda body, the body is composed of eternity. I'm just giving the definition. But I mean, how to draw a picture of that? Your guess is as good as mine. Eternity, bliss, and knowledge.
Can never be affected by material.
Yeah, that's a negative definition. Cannot be affected by material things. But exactly, you know, what is? I mean, how to describe it? Just like describing the taste of sugar. You got to taste it. In other words, you have to experience it, what it is. It's a philosophical definition, Sachidananda. But the experiential aspect of it is something that we haven't come across, at least recently in the last few million lifetimes.
How does cyanide taste?
How does cyanide taste? Yeah. Try it. Mm-hmm. So. So that's the body of Krishna. And we experience by looking at the deity or a picture of Krishna, which are windows of the spiritual world, or hearing Krishna's name, that our life changes. But it's not mundane. Even, we were describing last night, even one can chant Krishna's name, but if it's not coming to cyclic succession, it's not spiritual. It's only spiritual. It's only the Shudanam when it comes down into cyclic succession. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the holy name doesn't appear simply because the lips and the tongue vibrate something. It has to descend. Galokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. That's why I said, I don't think you were there last night, but that's why I said that people in the Ram Mandalis, they chant Ram's name for how long? 40, 50, 60 years, and they don't get purified. Whereas you have someone like Valmiki chanted Ram's name, even meaning something else, and he got purified. Right? Or you have Dhruva Maharaj, who chanted with a material desire, but because he received the pure name, his material desire went away. And he said, I was looking for some pieces of broken glass and I found a wonderful gem. So, anyway, so you have these examples that show that Krishna's name doesn't just appear materially. It has to descend, which is really important. So that, in other words, you can think you're chanting Krishna's name, but you're just chanting something else. I mean, Namabhas, I understand you get Namabhas stuff, but not Shudnama. Shudnama is only coming from the pure devotee.
I think it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When you receive Krishna's name without the secret sufficiency, it's still effective. I mean, he's beyond.
No, you have to receive it in this. It says Krishna's name doesn't wait for initiation. That's what the thing says. But it has to be received in disciplic succession through, not necessarily through your guru. It can be received through someone who goes on Harinam. You know, Harinam. That's why you see these Mayavadis, they're chanting Krishna's name and they're not getting purified. I mean, there's so many impersonalist kirtan players or singers, and they're chanting. And it's Namabhas. I mean, obviously, there's some benefit there. But still, they can go on for millions of years chanting like that. And their desires and their anarthas don't go away. So, but yeah, the holy name doesn't wait for initiation. That's what it says. It doesn't wait for initiation. That same question was raised last night. That does the holy name wait for initiation? No, it doesn't. One can chant the holy name immediately upon hearing it. Prabhupada said, must be heard from the lips of a pure devotee. That's Prabhupada's direct statement. Must be heard from the lips of a pure devotee. So we hear from the pure devotees who are serving Prabhupada, you know, is following strictly. Prabhupada gave that definition. He said, anyone who's following strictly is, in one sense, a pure devotee. That is, because they're connected. They can act in the same way they're connected to the powerhouse, connected to the simple. As soon as we stop following strictly, then we cut that connection. And so we can't really give others the pure name. But when we're following strictly, we can give others a pure name. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, what it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita doesn't wait for initiation. So any other questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. You said that Krishna gives us what we desire if we desire to forget Krishna.
Yeah.
He allows us to. So how do we cultivate more desire to actually
know Krishna? By good association. Because the material world, just speaking materially, the modes of nature affect us, and whoever or whatever we come in contact with, we also come in contact with their modes of nature. That's why Krishna describes in the Gita, like food in the different modes of nature, determination in the mode of nature, workers in the different modes of nature. So, therefore, Lord Chaitanya, when he was asked about the quality of a Vaishnava, the first thing he gave was sort of a negative definition. He said, a satsanga chag. A Vaishnava chart. A Vaishnava is one who avoids bad association. That was the negative part. And then, of course, there's the sadhu sangha. It takes good association. Because to cultivate a good desire requires to associate with someone who has a good desire. And we're fortunate to have His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, his books, and his biography. We were speaking last night to someone, and he was saying that it's very hard for him to relate to Krishna. And, you know, in fact, you know, people first come to Krishna consciousness, it's very hard. And some people really even get envious when they read about Krishna. There was one lady who said to her husband that Krishna had so many wives and I can only have one husband. This is not fair. You know, Krishna unfair. So, or some men, they, you know, say Krishna has so many girlfriends. And me, you know, just, why are you restricting me, Maharaj? This is one wife. People actually feel like that, you know, sometimes. Krishna, and he's doing all these things, dancing with them. And not only that, his girlfriends are married to other people. Right? You know, what kind of God is this? Who's doing all these things? So, Krishna is very transcendental. It's hard. I mean, even if they appreciate and they don't get envious, it's just hard to relate sometimes when people first come to Krishna consciousness to Krishna, because it's so, he's so amazing, so transcendental. And they may even think of him as some like comic book character, like the Flash or something like that. So what I advise people, and this is what I was saying last night, is that you start to relate to Prabhupada. One thing that's perhaps been a little bit neglected is that the cultivation of a relationship with Prabhupada, which is essential, not only for our own selves, because we can relate to Prabhupada in the sense that, you know, he brings down to earth. Of course, he's from the spiritual world, but he brings down to earth in our consciousness of what a pure devotee is, you know, what a devotee of Krishna is. And it's very, you know, the story is, we can say it's a very human story, although Srila Prabhupada is transcendental. You know, it's a story of Prabhupada's life and Prabhupada's pastimes and Prabhupada's preaching that's very much easy for us to relate to. And unfortunately now it's not so much emphasized, but we have so many sources of Prabhupada's pastimes. I mean, Mukunda Maharaj has written, Sasrupa Maharaj has written, so many devotees, Giriraj Maharaj has written things, and you really can understand how to be a devotee by reading and hearing about Prabhupada. And we have videos about Prabhupada. I mean, that I have this whole series, Remembering Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada's disciples are talking about different exchanges they had with Prabhupada, different things Prabhupada said. So by relating, to answer your question, by connecting, not just relating, but connecting to Prabhupada, one's desire really becomes purified. I mean, I realized that last night. Like, what I try to do before I go to sleep is read a chapter of the Krishna book. Mm. I mean, sometimes if I'm not alert, I'll look at the news. But anyway, if I'm in Maya, I'll check BBC, CNN, like that. You know, because you have a computer in front of you, and you have a choice. And even my e-reader can go on the internet. You know, I have what's called a Kindle, and go on the internet. So there's, it's just a little temptation. You just push another button, and you can actually see the news, which is so exciting. Anyway, someone killed so and so. You know, so many exciting things happening in the world. The stock market has gone down. Apple has come out with the latest iPad. You know, exciting things. So I try, and usually I'm successful, in reading the chapter of Krishna book at night. I mean, last night I read about how Satyajit was killed. You all know the story? By the Satadanva. And Akrura was involved in this story. You know, Akrura and some other person. What was his other name? Anyway, what... Two of Krishna's intimate associates were involved in killing Krishna's father-in-law. And they didn't directly kill. The Satadanva killed. It was Kritavarma. Kritavarma and Akrura. And Prabhupada was explaining that Akrura, he was cursed by the gopis. That's why he got involved in sinful activities. Interesting, isn't it? Even though he's a pure devotee. Because why was he cursed by the gopis? Because he did the horrible thing of taking Krishna out of Vrindavan. And then Kritavarma, he was subject to sinful activities because he associated with Kamsa before Kamsa was killed. So his mind was contaminated, even though he was a pure devotee. So it's really, in other words, it's really exciting, not that we should tell the whole story, but just hearing from Prabhupada, and it inspires me. And then in the middle of the night, you know, I'm dreaming about Krishna. You know, I had one dream that I was at a temple. I wanted to chant my rounds, but he wouldn't let me chant my rounds. But anyway, but you have dreams connected to Krishna. And you connect with Prabhupada. It's very potent. You know, Krishna book. I mean, how many devotees have fully read Krishna book? Very few nowadays. You mean we get more sophisticated and we get to read the books of the Goswamis, like the Goswamis, the Dhamma, we think we're very advanced in Krishna consciousness. We're worshipping Giriraj, you know, advanced devotee. As far as Krishna book, I've been there, seen it, done it, you know. That was when I was a kid in Christian consciousness. So we connect with Prabhupada. What I experience is that when I connect in that way by hearing from Prabhupada or about Prabhupada, then my desire becomes very clean and pure. So I advise hearing about or from Prabhupada as much as possible, and that takes care of the desire aspect. Otherwise, if I hear from someone who's not following strictly, then it may influence me in a different way. Like Prabhupada even said, we mentioned this the other day, that when devotees are doing dramas, it should be only people who are following strictly doing the dramas. That's why some of these movies about Krishna's pastimes may not be exactly inspirational. You know, I watched this, the devotees in Fiji gave me this one movie. It's about Krishna and Dwarka. You heard about this series? It's something new.
Yeah,
it's something new. They gave me it, and it shows Jambavan and everything like that. And I watched it. I was on the airplane coming here. I had my computer. I just thought, you know, I'd watch a movie about Krishna. So there's Krishna fighting with Jambavan, you know, the big bear. And Krishna won. Krishna knew some karate, and he or judo, and threw him over his head. Anyway, so it was. It comes in the Indian television channel. Anyway, but I wasn't feeling so inspired after I watched it, even though it was Krishna. You know, I had Krishna there; it was very nice, but it wasn't so inspired. Now, what's the difference? It's Krishna's pastimes, and they were accurate in their depiction of Krishna's pastimes, but the inspiration wasn't there to serve Krishna. You know, the same sort of inspiration I would experience from Prabhupada's katha. So I think that's a good way we can keep our desires pure. And it's so nectarian. I mean, before you read, I mean, your mind is telling you, you know, you heard it already before, you read it already before. But once you start, it's like chanting japa in the morning. Once you start, it gets better. But before, the mind may be telling you, you know, the mind may be telling you, oh, come on, the news would be really interesting. You know, it's a good bedtime thing to read the news before you go to bed. Isn't it? Read about the latest cars. Take out your car and auto magazine or something like that.
Online.
What's that?
It's all online.
It's all online. Sorry. So you take your iPad out and you can, like, you have all these magazines. Like, wow, a V8. You know what V8 is? It's an engine with 8 cylinders, and I have the latest pistons. I mean, that's all right. I mean, we can use that in Krishna's service. You know, you can use a piston weapon when somebody attacks. But if we, even though our mind may not be inclined to do it, if we actually use our intelligence to read, then you'll be amazed at what sort of enlivenment you experience. It was like that. I mean, last night I read the story. It was very enlivened. A simple story that I know I've read maybe 20, 30, 50 times before. So any other questions or comments? Yeah.
You mentioned how if we use the deity for our own sense gratification, then
Krishna could leave if he decides to.
Is prasadam the same way?
Prasadam is offered properly. I don't think prasadam leaves. But Prabhupada used to quote a Bengali saying about people using the deity. He said it's like using the Shalagram Shila to crack nuts with. You know, so that's a pretty heavy statement. No, I don't think prasadam can do that. If it's offered, but if you offer it to the deities and it's impure, or you don't have the right conscience, specifically with Radha and Krishna, Prabhupada said Krishna can refuse to take it. I mean, we've had experience like some devotees doing pujari work and you go into the altar to take the plate off and everything's on the floor. Because Krishna's just thrown everything on the floor. Or Radharani has been displeased and everything's just been thrown on the floor. So you may, yes, we were specifically worshipping Radha and Krishna. It may not be prasadam. The consciousness or the cleanliness or the other aspects have not been done properly, or the specifically consciousness. If one has good consciousness, Krishna will accept anything, basically. A vegetarian. There was that devotee who was offering Krishna banana peels. Because he was so much in love with Krishna, he was just like peeling the banana, and he threw away the banana and he gave Krishna the peel. But it was because it was offered with love, you know, Krishna accepted it. And isn't it? I mean, it's the love that Krishna wants. So if you don't offer with love, or at least offer to someone who will offer to with love for you, then Krishna may not accept. It's not a ritual. I mean, we say our prayers, but it's not guaranteed unless you have the right consciousness. Sometimes we get into a very ritualistic consciousness. We say all the prayers and all the mantras and all the mudras and all that other stuff. But we're thinking, can't wait till this ends so I can eat. And then you think Krishna will accept. You can do everything perfectly. But Shama Avi Kevalam. There's that statement in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? If you're not actually developing love or attachment to hearing about Krishna, then Shavayavikevalam is just like, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. So our whole point is bhakti yoga, to use the framework of the rituals we have to develop love for Krishna. The rituals in and of themselves, if we just become attached to them, that's called niyamagraha. That means rituals, you know, without spiritual intention. It's getting dark. So, that's right. Let there be light. And there was light. That's like a biblical quote, yeah. The Lord said, let there be light. So, I think we have to end now because we have programs and everything, I guess. Breakfast at Radharani. That's pretty exalted, you know. It's what I've always wanted to take. Good. To go to Radharani's house and serve Krishna. Yeah. You know, this is, you get, see, by giving Bhagavatam class, you really get purified. You get to go to Radharani's house for breakfast. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Just see. It works. The process of Krishna consciousness works. Of course, Radharani is married to Paul, so it's not exactly. It's not exactly the same Radharani. Yeah, I haven't read that story in Krishna book yet. All right, I guess that's it. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Krishna is transcendental body. Yeah. We're going on our motorcycles this morning.
Motorcycles?
Yeah, I wish. You're going to go?
How much does it kindle fire in America if you get it from
there? What does it say in Amazon? $200. American dollars. You want me to bring you one next time I come? Or?
We can get it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we can get the Kindle Touch, the standard Kindle, and the Kindle 3.
I'll tell you how to get it right away. You just go on eBay and they ship it to you. You can buy, I mean, Amazon won't ship it to you. Whoops. Yeah, Amazon won't ship it to you, but you can buy it from someone on eBay. Let me check it. The one I have, I'll show you to in a second. It's the Kindle Touch.
It's so much easier to navigate.
It's really good. I mean, the Fire I don't need because I have the iPad. The Fire is good. I've seen it. That's a Kindle Fire.
was 249, which is actually pretty cheap.
249.
For the Kindle Touch.
It's 249. In America, it's only $100.
We have people coming every day going, oh, I'll take three, I'll take four.
Actually, for Christmas, I bought one for every devotee in the temple.
The normal Kindle is $90.
Yeah, the normal Kindle is $79. In America. That's the one that comes with advertisements. The touch I have has advertisements too, but it doesn't bother you because the advertisements are not there when you're reading. I'll show you in a second. We'll go upstairs and show you. Okay, no work today? Vacation. Oh, you're sick. Oh. That's a good excuse. Oh.